Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. This week, we're going to introduce you to some researchers who have been able to restore movement to a man paralyzed from the neck down.
Now we can tell the world it's possible to reconnect the brain and make the arm move again.
We'll also take a trip to northern Italy, where a German software company has created a virtual copy of a 3,000-year-old town. And Penelope Pulu will tell us about The Zookeeper's Wife, starring Jessica Chastain. That's all on this week's American Cafe. In 2009, Bill Cochevar suffered a devastating spinal cord injury and has been paralyzed from the shoulders down. But as Bronwyn Benito tells us, a pilot clinical trial has made it possible for Bill to regain some movement and holds the promise of restoring mobility to people with paralysis.
Bill Cochevar was in a bike accident 8 years ago that left him with a severe spinal cord injury. He's paralyzed from the shoulders down, but today he's feeding himself mashed potatoes and drinking coffee. He's part of a study at Case Western Reserve University, where researchers have combined two investigational technologies to obtain remarkable results. Robert Kirsch is chair of the university's Department of Biomedical Engineering.
For the first time, we've implanted brain recording electrodes in a person and an FES system.
FES stands for functional electrical stimulation. In this case, 36 electrodes implanted in Cochevar's right upper and lower arm electrically stimulate the muscles in his hand, elbow, and shoulder. But that is only part of what he needs for the movement.
When somebody has a spinal cord injury, a perfectly working brain is essentially disconnected from an otherwise perfectly working body.
Research study co-author Lee Hochberg says the brain-computer interface, BrainGate, reconnects the part of Cochevar's brain that controls movement to muscles in his arm and hand. Surgically implanted electrodes on the surface of the motor cortex of his brain transmit neural signals that researchers can record.
We were able to decode that brain activity, send those commands down to the FES system, and he was able to reach out and pick up that cup again with his own arm and hand.
Cochevar describes his ability to move just that little bit as awesome.
You know, yes, I'm injured, but it's not like my life stopped when I got injured.
We've bridged his spinal cord injury. He can now think about moving his arm, and his arm moves.
My father said, "You really want to do this?" I said, "Yes." Somebody has to do research. If nobody does research, things don't get done.
Cochevar's contribution to that research through feedback and suggestions is enabling doctors and engineers, like Hochberg and Kirsch, to build technology that will help other people with paralysis in the future.
Now we can tell the world it's possible to reconnect the brain and make the arm move again.
Other investigational BrainGate research has shown that people with paralysis can control a cursor on a computer screen or a robotic arm. Bronwyn Benito, VOA News, Washington, D.C.
You might have heard of the ancient city of Volterra from the Twilight book series. It's supposedly where the rulers of the world's vampires live. But in reality, it has a history spanning 3,000 years from the 8th century B.C. But it also sits in a region that is prone to earthquakes. Now, some researchers have created a virtual Volterra using drones and laser imaging. Kevin Enochs talked to lead researcher Christian Weiss about how his company is preserving the city in cyberspace.
The historic Tuscan city of Volterra is an amazing mashup of Roman, Etruscan, and medieval architecture. To ensure that history doesn't disappear, the city was painstakingly mapped using all manner of imaging technology.
The entire town has been captured because we could make use of various technologies, drones, scanners. So it was not really a big problem or a big challenge. We were able to link those data with geodata, so the city really could have a physical connection.
The result is an incredibly realistic depiction of a town that has a 3,000-year history.
The 3D model that we've created does not only convey graphical information, information, but also all information necessary for further processing of the data: pictorial material, state, cultural, historical context, architectural style, and so forth.
The goal of all this work is to provide a permanent record for anyone interested in seeing the town in its heyday.
With all those excessively collected data, we were able to create a consolidated model which is accessible for experts as well as laymen.
Experts such as researchers or architects, if time or an earthquake were to devastate parts of the city as it has in the past. Kevin Enochs, VOA News, Washington.
If you would like to see the virtual Volterra, log on to our website, voanews.com, and look for a video version of Kevin's story. During World War II, the Warsaw Zoo became a refuge for Jews hiding from Nazi persecution. Now a new film tells the story of the courage and compassion of zookeepers Jan and Antonina Zabinski, who risked their lives and the life of their son to protect others. Penelope Pulu tells us about the zookeeper's wife.
The idyllic life of Antonina and Jan Zabinski, owners of the Warsaw Zoo, ends abruptly when the Nazis invade Poland in 1939. During a Nazi air raid, most of their animals are killed, and those that survive face an uncertain future.
You need to trust me. Now, I could take your prize animals to Germany as a loan. We give them sanctuary.
Guided by greed and lust, Lutz Heck, a Nazi officer played by Daniel Brühl, offers his assistance to Antonina. Screenwriter Angela Workman says Lutz was a historic figure.
He was Hitler's chief zoologist. His family, I think, still breeds Heck cattle. And everything we say in the movie about him is true. He had feelings for Antonina. He would walk in whenever he wanted. He controlled them. He had very strong animal instincts, and I think that he was a predator in a way.
Though fearful of Heck, Antonina Zabinski manipulated his feelings to convince him to let her and her husband keep the zoo open, operating as a pig farm for the Nazi troops. Under Heck's nose, they smuggled Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto into the zoo and hid them in service tunnels and underground empty animal cages throughout the war.
You can never tell who your enemies are.
Jessica Chastain depicts Antonina as nurturing with animals and humans alike.
Or who to trust. Maybe that's why I love animals so much.
The zookeeper's wife tells a Holocaust tale from a feminine perspective, says filmmaker Nikki Caro, who worked with a largely female cast and crew.
Femininity has often been equated with weakness. But a character like Antonina, or Antonina herself, shows us that you can be both very soft and very strong.
Antonina Zabinski saved about 300 Jews using the zoo as a way station. During the day, they would hide in the basement of the zoo and come out at night as soon as they heard her play the piano. That was her signal that the Nazi guards were gone for the day. At a red carpet event at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., screenwriter Angela Workman says, though her script was based on Diane Ackerman's novel, it was also informed by her own family history.
I'm so emotional. I'm so emotional to be in this museum because I spent an enormous amount of time here when I was writing. I feel like my family's faces are on the walls of this museum.
Jessica Chastain felt the film sent a message about today's refugee crisis.
Absolutely does. I was shocked to learn that Anne Frank's family was denied a visa to the United States twice. Antonina was a refugee. She was born and raised in Russia, and she found her safe place in Warsaw. And then from there, she created a sanctuary for others. I hope that people will see the film and be inspired by her compassion and kindness and will do what they can to help others.
What have you been up to in your little zoo?
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks for joining us for this week's American Cafe. Now, I'd love to hear your questions or comments. You can post them on our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. Until next week, I'm David Byrd in Washington.